In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. It's a bit of a frightening thing to hear those words, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him I will also be ashamed." When I come again in glory. But I think it is also very healing to take a close look at that very verse. Because in our unhealthy ways, we operate very often with shame. Shame is something that people use to control each other. And it's in those circumstances also that when we bear shame without thinking about God, then we also allow the devil to control us. When we get very heated in arguments and very defensive, shame is speaking. And we need to take a step back and allow the Lord to work through us. The Lord never told us that we're worthless. We've been reflecting on this throughout this period of Lent. He has stamped his icon, his light, the light of his face on us, and we'll say that repeatedly today. We're created as icons of God. And also, St. Paul says that Christ, the Son of God, was not ashamed to call us brethren. If Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren, how is it that we feel shame sometimes to associate with him? God, the creator of everything, was mindful of us and was not ashamed to associate with us while we were sinners, while we were unworthy, while we were impure. God, who is holy, God, who is love and light, was not ashamed to associate with us in our unworthiness, in our sinfulness. And so how is it that we turn around and sometimes don't think about God, don't associate with God? I think that sometimes we may hear this verse and say, well, unless I'm doing a huge sign of the cross in the middle of the restaurant, I must be ashamed of God. Discernment is something else, because God didn't say, make a scene out of your prayer to prove how unashamed you are of me. Because now, again, I've made it about myself and about my show. He also says, when you pray, go into the door so no one sees you. Go and close your door in private so no one sees you praying. It's not a show. On the other hand, when you want to say a prayer, you say a prayer, but not to provoke. A few years ago, there were nuns who were in captivity with non-Christians, and they had removed their crosses that they were wearing, not because they were ashamed of Christ, but because they said we were not in the right place to wear them. They were not wanting to be provoking. Love does not provoke, says St. Paul. So our faith is something that we live out, but we don't purposely get confrontational to irritate on purpose. Because that doesn't witness Christ either. When we fail and sin, we can also let shame work that way, that we may refuse forgiveness because we say, how can God remit something that is so terrible? But there again, the shame that we project on God bounces back to us, and then we are estranged from God. And this is another kind of shame that we have to be aware about. You remember the story of Saint Porphyrios during house blessing season, and he's going from door to door, knocking and going in and blessing the houses, and then having people come and venerate the cross. Well, he winds up in one house, and he says a number of women are coming out of rooms and seeing what this was all about, that he's chanting the Save, O Lord. Well, it was as at a theophany time, when he was chanting the theophany hymn. And he said to himself, I've landed on a house of ill repute. And he still stayed and chanted louder, and then he invited the women to come and venerate the cross. And the manager was saying, I don't think these should be doing that. And he said this wonderful thing, the Lord made me worthy to come here. I came to bless. He invited them to come and venerate the cross. And he said, our God is very good, and we should get to know him. And he rains on everybody, and he shines on everybody. He's very good. And he wished them many years. If he had just let them rot in their shame, would they have any direction to change their life? They were all too familiar with that already. Did it make a difference? When God's light is shined on us, and when we have access to blessings, that's when we can turn to God. And to know that his mother intercedes for us, whom we also call the protection of Christians, akateskindos, unshameable, the one who's not ashamed to keep interceding for us sinners. And to know that we can turn to God and that he can forgive everything. This cross that we venerate today, when we think about that this was an invention of human beings that was so shameful, you think about the suffering that it caused human beings. It was unbelievable. How could we have invented this? And our Lord, who said that whatever you do or not do to the least of my brethren, you do it not to me. So he would not have stood for that treatment for criminals. And what a very shameful thing that human beings invented to do to someone else. And Christ goes on the cross voluntarily, and by his cross, he defeats death by death. He defeats violence by allowing the violence to happen to him. He defeats hate by being hated. He defeats all evil. And we still have the cross in our life. Christ no longer is on the cross. He's risen from the dead. But we know that we can pass from the cross to life. We know that this cross, this tree, which is another word for it, this tree is our way back to paradise. It was by the tree that we heard in the wonderful Orthros. It was by a tree that man left paradise, that Adam left paradise. They took from this tree of knowledge, and they were ashamed. But it's by this tree, this instrument of torture, this extraordinarily shameful thing that human beings did to one another, to shame one another, is where shame is defeated. And now we have less of an excuse to be ashamed of the one who wasn't ashamed to do all of that for us. But we also have more power to participate in this beautiful life, in this pathway to paradise. I saw online, and I don't know who said it, and there was a funny thing that I also saw online. It says, never trust quotes that you see online, you know, and their sources. And then underneath it said, Abraham Lincoln. It's so funny. But this was a very nice quote, whoever said it. And I thought that it can really be applied to today. But it says, Satan says, look at your sin. And God says, look at my son. Beautiful. Look at my son. Because if I look at my sin, where do I go? Inside. I'm stuck there. Self-destruct button. Look at my son. I have a way out, a new way, a way to change. And it's not easy to change. But with God, all things are possible, meaning whatever God wants us to do, he will help us to do. He's not going to say, do this, and not help us to do it. So the cross is the end of the shame, the end of death, the defeating of sin. And when we receive this blessing, we know that we're unworthy. You know, on September 14th, one of the hymns says that our veneration of the cross is with fear and with joy. With fear because we're unworthy, but with joy because of what God has done for us. And no matter what we do, we're unworthy. Our good works are just ways of thanking God for making us worthy to do those things, for making us worthy to partake of his life. But being ashamed of God is not just being embarrassed to talk about him. And then there are some situations where you don't force that on people. But you also can project the shame that we have about our sinfulness onto God, and then forget to turn to him. But God has given us opportunity for repentance, for confession of sins, and for the restoration of paradise. And paradise can start now. Amidst the chaos, amidst the disorder, amidst our challenges, this hope can start now. We remember that when Christ was on the cross, after the thief said, remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, he says, you will be with me today in paradise. Don't you think that in that moment of physical agony, to know that paradise was coming, it already started, at least a little? To hear those magnificent words that you will be with me today in paradise. What great power God has to work hope amidst the worst of the worst. We know somebody who said, I live, there's an expression in Greek, mi hirotera, may it not be worse, right? Well, there was a one lady who said to us one time, I live the mi hirotera. She had gone through many tragedies and many losses in her life. But Christ, our God, is bigger than the mi hirotera because he lived that and he showed that all of that is swallowed up and it does not have the last word. So this is very great gift that we're called to receive with thanksgiving and not with shame towards God. St. John Chrysostom says, be ashamed when you sin, but not when you repent. And with God, we're always repenting. We shouldn't listen to that voice of shame where the devil says, look at your sin, because that's how he will control us. We have to turn to God. The same St. Porphyrios that I was talking about before, he says, no one became holy by fighting evil. Turn to Christ and he will save you. When we fight evil, we engage it. When we turn to Christ, who already has destroyed death by death, we know that he will help us. And as we heard in the beautiful epistle, this high priest, who was not ashamed to call us brethren, is able to understand us who were tempted. Whenever we go to do something holy, we can expect temptation. This is what I always tell people who are preparing for baptism. What happened to Christ right after his baptism? He's tempted for 40 days in the desert. It doesn't mean that it wasn't worth it, what we did. Temptation doesn't mean we're sinful, but the devil will try to shame us even in times of temptation. You're tempted, so you might as well do it. You're not the icon of God. But God has loved us and has worked his healing through this cross. Through this cross, joy has come in the world. And through this cross, may he always protect us and help us to know that paradise is ahead. And that can start now. That spiritual condition of uniting with Christ starts now. And it only becomes more indelible and more beautiful as time progresses. May God bless each one of us, and may this beautiful Sunday of the cross be strengthening in these saving days of the period of Great Lent. May it help us to arrive at a holy Pascha and help us to be participants in the holy resurrection of Christ, to whom belong all glory, honor, and worship, together with his eternal Father and his all holy and good and life-creating Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages.
Amen.